Eating well and nutritiously is a goal for us all, I guess, and enjoying food is really one of life's great pleasures, isn't it? But what happens when you don't have a choice about what you get to eat? The pureed food that gets served to people in aged care so often looks unappetising. Then there are the meals consisting of things like party pies and garlic bread, not exactly bursting with nutritional goodness. Does this matter? Dr. Cherie Hugo is a dietitian. She's the founder of the Lantern Project. This is an organisation that aims to improve the eating and dining experiences of aged care residents. Cherie, hello. Welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning.
Now, is the food that's often being served to aged care residents nutritionally appropriate, Cherie?
It's quite often nutritionally appropriate, but what I tend to see is we're not always getting all the other factors right. So, you know, we can get all the nutrients into the diet, but if it's not visually appealing and it's not in a nice dining setting and engaging all the senses, it actually isn't nutritious at all if it's not consumed by the resident.
Yes, so you're saying that really eating food is an experience beyond what's on the plate.
Or, absolutely.
Well, what's on the beyond the nutrition of what's on the plate?
Absolutely. So most homes will have their menus nutritionally assessed, so it sort of ticks the box. But it's so much more than that, and that's really what the project's about.
Are though your nutritional needs in old age any different from at any other time of life?
Yeah, it's a tricky time. So as we get older, our calorie requirements remain much the same, but our protein needs increase. So we need more protein. And at the same time, we generally have a decrease in appetite. So as we get older, our appetites will reduce. So it's that trick of really, in a smaller quantity of food, meeting that higher protein need. So
Why do you need more protein as you get older?
So I guess it's probably more inefficiencies in metabolism. So we don't maybe digest things as effectively, and we have higher loads with increasing disease burdens. So there's a number of reasons why we require more protein, but it's a lot of the time we're really just not hitting that mark.
Well, I also want to welcome to the conversation our Dr. Genevieve Steiner. Genevieve's a cognitive neuroscientist who's researching dementia. She's at Western Sydney University. Now, when it comes to the brain, Genevieve, as opposed to the rest of your body, what's nutritionally good for brain health in older age?
It's a really interesting question, Amanda, and I think we often think about the physical needs of our bodies as we get older and changing our nutritional intake and our caloric demands based on how much physical activity we're doing. But we don't often think about what the implications are for our brains, how that affects our memory and thinking, for instance, and how it also affects our mood. So if we're talking about what we should be eating and some of the latest evidence around eating for dementia risk reduction, those type of dietary patterns and those types of food groups are very different to what, say, a person who is in a residential aged care facility who already has advanced dementia might need in terms of their nutritional intake, in terms of what they can physically eat with their diet.
Yeah, so take us through that a bit more, in a bit more detail.
Yeah, of course. So it's very interesting, and there was some recent evidence published on this, a summary in the Lancet Commission on Dementia Prevention, Intervention and Care late towards the end of last year. And what that's really showing is that in terms of keeping our brains ageing well and healthy brain ageing and reducing our risk of dementia, then we need to take an across the lifespan approach. So we can't just be thinking about, well, what do we need to do now that we're ageing and what should we be doing to reduce our risk? We need to think about it much earlier on, because we know from that report that there's at least 35% of our risk for dementia can be modified. And it's through things that, you know, we often think about and we know we should be doing around healthy eating, and also around physical activity and monitoring things like cardiovascular risk factors. So to give you an example, in midlife, we know that if you have cardiovascular disease or high blood pressure, for instance, and you're overweight or obese, then you're going to have an increased risk of dementia in later life. So the evidence around what we should be eating during this, you know, across the lifespan approach is really quite emerging, and it's a very fast and rapidly moving field of research. What some of the evidence is showing is that traditional diets, such as the Mediterranean diet or the Japanese diet, for instance, which involves high levels of vegetables and fruit and unrefined cereals and legumes and moderate amounts of dairy and protein and you know, some ample amounts of protein from fish, those kind of diets, from the observational evidence, look like they can possibly reduce our risk of dementia and also potentially slow rates of cognitive decline and reduce conversion of people who are already in their older years to types of dementia such as Alzheimer's disease. But it's important to distinguish with these studies that they're observational evidence. So we don't really know a lot of the time if it's that people who are eating these types of diets are healthy more generally, or if there's something special about the diet that's really going to be, you know, reducing the risk of dementia.
Isn't it all about your genes too, though, when it's said and done? I mean, you mentioned that, you know, the extent that you can stave off losing brain power as you age can be up to 50%. But in the end, it's about the genes you've got, isn't it?
Sometimes, but not always. So we know dementia, it's what we call a syndrome. So it's an umbrella term for more than 100 different types of diseases. So it really depends on the type of dementia we're talking about, so the underlying cause, and then we can talk about genetic risk. So for instance, if we're talking about Alzheimer's disease, there's a very, very small percentage of cases that are completely hereditary. So that means that a person has a particular genetic mutation that guarantees that they're going to get Alzheimer's disease. For the majority of the population, and we're talking about 98-99% of people who develop late onset sporadic Alzheimer's disease, then this is not necessarily moderated through our genetics to such a great extent. There are mutations that increase the risk, but just because you carry those mutations, it's not a necessity or not a given fact.
You can do stuff.
Yeah, exactly, which I think is empowering for us, because if we know we can be doing things throughout our lifespan to reduce our risk of dementia, specifically if it's lifestyle related, so that's things that we have control over, then that has huge implications for our brain health in older age.
Well, here in Life Matters, let's come back to the dietitian now, Cherie Hugo. Cherie, as I understand it, research is saying that in nursing homes, one in two residents are malnourished. First of all, how do you define malnourishment?
So there's a number of ways we can look at it, but we typically use the gold standard assessment, the subjective global assessment, which looks at kind of a mix of factors, so dietary intake, weight history, and looking at whether weight loss, if there has been weight loss, if it's been unintentional or intentional, because that makes quite a difference as to sort of health outcomes.
It's not just about not eating enough, though. It is about nutrition, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about sort of making sort of every mouthful count.
So what kinds of impacts does malnourishment have in older people, Cherie?
It really infiltrates many of the health outcomes of aged care residents. So when someone's malnourished, they're at higher risk of falls, pressure areas, hospital readmissions generally, increased need for medications, issues with mood. It has big flow-on effects and ultimately increases mortality.
Well, Genevieve Steiner, people in aged care who have dementia tend to have higher rates of malnourishment. Why is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And what's interesting is that, so older adults who have more advanced stages of dementia who are in residential aged care, they have the same nutritional needs as older adults without dementia. Sometimes they might need slightly higher caloric intake because they are doing some people have mm-hmm. to have increased physical activity due to some of the behavioural symptoms of their behaviour, of their dementia, such as increased pacing, for instance. But what we know with dementia, as we get, as we, you know, the disease progresses, it is degenerative. So yes, we lose our appetite luxury highlighted with age, but we also forget how to eat and drink, forgetting how to chew and swallow. There's other symptoms such as getting a dry mouth or discomfort in the mouth. Some people with dementia have difficulty using cutlery, or perhaps they're not able to recognise food or drink that they've been given. Plus, there's changes in their senses as well. So the sense of smell, the sense of taste also deteriorates.
It's also about there being an available person to feed you if you can't feed yourself.
Yes, that's correct. So people do need assistance sometimes with eating, also assistance obviously with things like meal preparation. And there's other strategies that, you know, that can be put in place for people who do have advanced dementia to help them eat. So for instance, if somebody has difficulty using cutlery, quite often they can still use their hands and fingers to eat. So it's about preparing a nutritional meal that people can eat with their fingers, for instance, using things like a flat plate with no patterns on it so that people can actually see their food and distinguish it from the background and know that it's there.
And
also things like, you know, preparing meals that are actually quite tasty and strong and aromatic, that can really help to stimulate these senses that have degenerated.
For those who do need to be fed, though, it gets back to the staffing levels that we've heard so much about this week, not being enough in residential aged care. Cherie, you talked earlier about it not just being about the nutrition on the plate, but a whole lot of other factors around food and eating that impact on an older person's quality of life. Tell me what you're doing with the Lantern Project around all this.
Well, we're living in an aged care home and sort of working across the whole organisation and looking at sort of all of the factors and really bringing into play and demonstrating that, yeah, it's not just that nutrition, it's looking at the ambience of the dining room, checking lighting, as Genevieve has mentioned. We have, particularly with residents with dementia, where sight may slowly deteriorate, you know, checking, are we having contrasting placemats so that residents can focus, keep attention to the meal? Are the TVs turned off in a dining room? Because there's nothing worse than having that additional distraction. So it's and staff training. So it's and persistence with staff. So it's not just at taking at face value if a food has declined. It's really training and ensuring that they have strategies to help persist and ensure that a meal that's been offered is consumed.
And attending really to all the sort of sensory inputs around that. Cherie, outside though of aged care facilities, an older person who's living at home, say, what can families do to support them around all that stuff, not just around eating well, but enjoying eating?
So in particular with residents with dementia
I'm just thinking generally speaking.
Generally, okay. So my biggest concern, and it's something that I hear certainly every day, is, I'm getting older, my appetite's poor, I don't need as much because I'm not moving around as much. So it really is challenging that and encouraging if the person's usual habit has not been to have mid-meal snacks, it's actually encouraging that habit to be put in place. So if someone can't manage to eat a large meal, then it's trying to sort of have small frequent meals and making sure there's good protein at each one of those meals.
See, the thing is, Cherie, for example, there's an elderly man I know. He and his wife live in their own home and he just wants to eat ice cream and cakes. It makes him happy. And you kind of think, you know, he's 88. Let him eat what he likes rather than make him eat chops or broccoli. Why not?
Oh, absolutely. It's working in with food preferences, and certainly when dementia is involved, that, you know, taste preferences tend to skew towards sweeter foods. And so it's looking at ways and opportunities to fortify those sweeter foods with the appropriate nutrients. So because, as you said, if it's broccoli and chops presented and that's not really within the person's food preferences, well, it's not nutritious, is it really? It's not going to be something that they actually eat. What gets it into the tummy is most important.
Cherie Hugo is a dietitian. She's the founder of the Lantern Project. This is an organisation that's working to improve the whole eating and dining experience of people living in aged care. And Dr. Genevieve Steiner is a cognitive neuroscientist who's researching dementia at Western Sydney University. Very interesting conversation to have with each of you. Cherie and Genevieve, thank you so much.
Thanks, Amanda.
And hey, the future of food for an ageing population is explored in the latest episode of Future Tense on RN, including the economics of it. If you haven't heard it, there's a link to that on the Life Matters website. As well as the audio, there's an article as well.